Hello, good evening, good morning, whatever. Mick Meredith here for Mind Meat. I'm on the Carnival Spirit in the middle of the ocean, steaming towards New Caledonia, where I'll fly home. I have a special guest on the podcast today. Big word of the day, big word, I love a big word of the day, is arsapanic. Arsapanic. It sounds rude, but it's not. It is actually a flying squirrel found on the coast of Virginia in 1606 by Captain John Smith of Pocahontas fame. Creature known to local tribes as the arsapanic by spreading their legs, which it does sound like fucking arsapanic when you think about it. By spreading their legs and arms and the skin between there, they can fly up to, I think, about 60 metres through the air. The arsapanic. It's got nothing to do with your bumhole. Let's get into the podcast. And I thought I'd head to Africa for international language of this podcast. Headed towards the Republic of Congo, which they mainly speak French there, but they're the Bantu native tongue there, Kakongo or Congo, from the Bakongo people. And hello from the Bakongo people is Mabote or Kiamabote. So Mabote to all the Congonese out there. So I'm on the Carnival Spirit, and only a few days. We're doing three nights, which is a good gig. It's a good gig, pretty good money, fucking stellar crowds. First night was a bit small. Apparently it wasn't advertised correctly, but last night, fucking smashing shows, me and Steve. Great time, banged out some great. I'm really enjoying the ad-libbing, especially with the kids, because you could do a couple of PG shows and big front rows of kids, and my whole angle is trying to pick up their aunties and mums talking to the kids. So it was a pretty good laugh. It's a full ship, full of everywhere in Australia, basically. I've hit the buffet quite a few times trying to hide. Got the Penrith cap on down over the eyes so no one talks to me. Very antisocial on here. I just want to eat and piss off. People go nuts in the fucking buffet, though, don't they? People go fucking nuts in the buffet. People just push in. People get fucking too much food. The plates are massive on here. There's not really any buffet etiquette. I don't know what buffet etiquette would be. Fuck, the plates are the size of a fucking satellite dish on here. And some of the people are quite large as well. It's actually not as big as you usually see. Not a big fatty bombard cruise. But I am up and down with enjoyment on here. I get a bit of anxiety on here. I had to do a safety test. Fucking safety test. I mean, we're down here as crew, but really we're... If there's an emergency, we head to straight to the passenger muster station. So that's what I'm doing if I hear an emergency. I've got no duties to do. I had to do a test, and I got 5 questions wrong, and I have to head up to the safety officer to explain. He's a very sexy Italian man. So that'll be interesting. I'll talk my way out of it, I hope. But I've just been chilling out here, doing my little walks during the day. But I am on the ship. With you always work with another comic on Carnival, and I'm on here with Stephen J. Whiteley, very, very funny comedian, really come into his own once he started doing cruise ship gigs. Great storyteller, great timing. He hails from Queensland, Australia. Great comedian, pretty good musician too. We'll get onto that. So here, enjoy my chat with Stephen J. Whiteley. Yes, here we are in, where are we?
Noumea.
Noumea, what's this hotel called?
The Hotel Ramada Plaza.
It's pretty hard to get into this hotel, isn't it?
It's pretty difficult, but they do drop you off out the front and then they take your passport, which is...
No, they take a photo of it, or a photocopy.
I know, which, that makes me nervous. Does that not bother you?
Well, internationally speaking, it is a bit fucking worrisome, but nothing's... I haven't been framed for anything yet.
I've been framed hundreds of times, just to ask my lawyer.
What's his name again? I might need him. I'm here with Stephen J. Whiteley. Welcome to Mind Meat. This is your first ever podcast. I can't believe it.
This is my first ever podcast. I've never done this before.
You're squirmy. You're very nervous.
Yeah, I am.
We struggled to get into the fucking door. There's a room key to get into the hotel or the bar, and we couldn't get in.
Well, actually, no, the thing is we couldn't get out.
Out.
We got in.
That's a good point.
We were in. We couldn't get out.
So we've just been on
which
the...
is normally not a problem for me. Normally I have a large Maori guy helping me.
Yes, yes, yes. Not with them fucking thongs on. You're a thong wearer. Oh, you always got shoes on.
I've always got shoes on because I've only got 8 toes.
Okay.
You didn't know that.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Fuck. Here, I'll show you.
I don't want to look. You're going to freak out.
You can't see this on the podcast. But
all right. What happened there?
Oh, I had a bit of an accident at work.
I can imagine it was. Because it looks like a bit of stitching work done there. Fuck me, eh?
Yeah.
That's horrifying.
Yeah, so 8 toes and stinky socks as I'm just...
How long have you had the 8 toes for?
I lost them in 2003.
Right.
I don't know if that's going to get picked up on the microphone. I don't know how close I need to...
Well...
Do I need to be down here?
Well, you fucked it now. We've just got off the Carnival Spirit doing some comedy gigs. How many gigs do we do?
I think 5 each.
5 each. Fucking hell.
Yeah. 2 kids shows. Jeez, didn't you have fun with that?
I had a good time yesterday with Kai. So how long have you been doing gigs on cruise ships?
Just over 3 years.
You've quite come into your own, I reckon. Your skills have fucking gone through the roof.
Oh, thank you very much. You're too kind, sir.
A lot of people bag comedy on cruise ships, but...
Well, they used to, and then they realise that that's where you make money, and now all of a sudden they're all jumping on cruise ships.
It's a bit of a run now, isn't it? So what's the best thing about cruise ships, you reckon?
Getting off.
Getting off?
And getting paid. That's...
Do you get paid quickly?
It's better than on dry land. But,
And what's the worst thing about cruise ships? Kai?
There's sometimes... You know what it's like, Mick. Like, there's sometimes where you just don't want to deal with people. But you've got to have a feed.
Yes.
You know, so you head up to the Lido deck and I'll go up there and I've got my headphones on and sunglasses on and I'm reading a book. I'm like, don't fucking talk to me.
And that's when they talk to you.
Yeah, you get people coming over, tapping you on the shoulder going, can I get a photo? You're like, fuck off.
And on Carnival, you have to wear a name tag. So they lean in and make sure it's you.
Oh, yeah,
and
definitely.
And get your name right.
Yes. So now here we are in beautiful Noumea. There's a lot of palm trees.
Have you been here when they've had the aqua aerobics?
No.
Best day ever.
Oh, really?
Beautiful French women just prancing.
Just aqua roving around.
Accidentally walked in and didn't leave for hours.
Accidentally walked in, yeah.
Might have spent about 800,000 francs on beers watching it, but.
Have you ever seen a fucking horse run around that?
No.
I've never seen a horse.
And I've been coming here 12 years.
Yeah.
12 years.
Never seen one fucking horse.
Apparently they're very tasty here, though. this hotel room is across the road from the Noumea racetrack, and I've been coming here 12 years, not one horse I've seen. So
I've seen some horse floats, but they've been empty.
Yeah, yeah.
So obviously they're stocking up the kitchen.
Apparently there's 1 meter a year. Steve Philp found it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 1 meter a year. Because I posted on Facebook once and he Googled it and then added it to the post and I went, oh, okay, whatever.
I know
more than I do.
I think it was Darren Sanders who saw a bus on fire across the road. Yeah, that was a big night. Oh, what are we going to do? We're going to burn the bus. Oh, fuck yeah, let's get on board with that. Get on board the bus.
No, no. Was there people in the bus?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Now, how long have you been doing comedy for?
20 years.
What was your first gig?
First gig was Bolt's Cafe in Adelaide.
How did it go?
It actually went quite well.
First gig's all right. It's the next 2 years of shit, I reckon.
Actually, it was the next 17 for me. I was a bit of a dickhead. I used comedy as an excuse to get drunk and take drugs and be a wanker and made a lot of enemies.
Right.
And I've learnt there's only one thing harder than building a career, and that's rebuilding a career. So when I finally stopped being a dickhead, I came back and went, I'm going to do it the right way, and I'm going to treat people with respect, and I'm going to treat the...
You knuckled down.
Yeah.
And some stellar shows on, I think the middle night was the best night of comedy.
The middle night was the best night. That's because we had the best crowd, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then things went to shit.
And then Mick met Kai.
What's your worst gig?
There's a few. I remember, here we go. Can we name names on this?
If you want to make enemies.
Remember one night, and this was in the middle of my drug-taking expedition. Turned up to a gig with a gram of speed under my belt. I was the support act.
Was it under your belt or under your belt?
It was under my belt. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Right. And I was supposed to do 20 minutes. I was supporting Limo.
Oh, right.
And
in Adelaide?
In Adelaide, yeah.
Adelaide comic.
And as I said, booked to do 20 minutes. Turned up whizzing off my fucking head. And I think I did about 45 minutes. As a 20-minute support act. And I walked off stage, and Limo was standing there waiting, and he was like, don't go anywhere, I want to talk to you. So he did his spot, came backstage and ripped shreds off me, like, you fucking amateur motherfucker, like, what are you doing, rah, rah, rah. And fair call to him as well, you know. But then about 2 months later, we were doing a show together in outback South Australia, and he was the MC and I was the headline, and he went, let's see how much you like it.
Right.
And he went on stage to introduce me and did like 50 minutes and then brought me up. And as I walked on the stage, we shook hands. He went, yeah, cheers, cunt. You know, so
one all.
You learn, you know, if you're an open mic comedian, if you're... Stick to time, mate. It's all about respect. It's all about, you know, what you need to realise is the show's not about you. And the 20-minute support slot, let's face it, Mick, we both know it. It's the G-spot. It's the beautiful spot. Mm.
Especially if the MC sets it up for you.
Yeah, that's where the audience, they're there, they're paying attention, they finally realise what's going on. So, but a good mate of mine, Steve Allison, said to me once, he goes, the job of a support act is to make the headliner nervous.
Yeah, it's not bad. I like that.
But to do it in time.
Yeah, Steve's been around.
Steve's been around. Well, makes him sound ruder than he is. Good golfer.
Is he?
He's a top golfer.
Are you a good golfer?
I'm a shit golfer.
All right. I'm expecting you to be awesome.
No.
Are you good at any sport?
No, not really.
All right. Not even darts?
Nah.
I thought you'd be a dartsman.
Nah.
Pool.
Oh, I can play eight ball.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, I can swindle some money every now and again when I need to.
Because you're a bogan. You're supposed to be able to do that stuff.
I grew up in pubs.
I've played pool with Chris Franklin, and fucking table tennis. Have you seen that bloke play table tennis? Freak.
Really?
Freak of nature.
Probably because he's been in prison.
I think that was his explanation, actually. We went to East Timor together for an army tour, and he beat all the champs.
Right.
All the champs.
Single-handedly bore down the Taliban by table tennis.
In a pair of dirty jeans, no shoes, and a singlet.
Oh, he's
and
a classy
guy. They're all in full uniform. He just smashed them.
Really?
Smashed them.
That good.
Fuck.
Like,
impossible. Impossible.
Wow.
And he has the eye of the tiger too. So you go harder, he goes even harder. So
he's a competitive fellow.
Yeah.
Good bloke though.
He's all right.
He's all right.
That's good bloke.
He's all right. Well, I got your gig on the weekend, Franklin, so if you listen to this,
he
won't
listen.
You're welcome.
He would know what a podcast is. Like, you didn't know what a podcast is.
I don't know what a podcast is. I don't even know what I'm doing at
the
moment.
You're just talking into a talkie stick.
Yeah, that's it. We've got this big furry cock sitting on the table.
It's not mine, by the way, love. I've trimmed back.
Oh.
So what's your best ever gig that you can remember?
I think one of the best gigs I ever had was the opening of the Adelaide Fringe Festival back in 2004, and I wasn't even in the festival. I just knew the girl that was running the opening gig, and she went, "Do you want to do a spot?" And I went, "Yes, yeah, sweet." And the lineup was Scared Weird Little Guys, Lane Owen Woodley, Fiona O'Loughlin, Stephen K. Amos, and then Stephen J. White.
Right, so you're headlining.
I was like, fucking hell, are you kidding me? But no, great gig. About 1,500 people, and yeah, right. Yeah, did well.
That's a good memory.
What's your favourite gig?
Favourite ever gig would be the Sinai Desert, Egypt, on the border, Egypt and Israel. There's a base there to stop them killing each other.
Right, great. So no pressure.
And no, I got flown there. Who was I with? No, I wasn't with Franklin. I was the only comedian. And we played the Rhubarb, which is run by the Kiwis and the Aussies. 25 different nationalities. It was two bands and me. And when I got off the plane to be picked up by the army, they said, "Which one's the comedian?" And I went, "I am." And they went, "Yeah, we'll see about that."
Oh, nice.
So then 8-hour drive to the base, just going, fucking Jesus. Anyway, smashed the gig.
You probably shouldn't say that in the Middle East. Fucking Jesus.
25 different nationalities. Halfway through the gig, they brought up 3 shots of tequila. I said, "Yep, you're the comedian. Good job." I went, "Thanks, I'll have them later." "No, you'll have them now."
Oh, nice.
So shot 3 shots of tequila. I think the gig went good after that.
Can't quite remember.
But that would be the best ever gig.
Oh, sweet. That do you travel around a lot?
I used to travel a lot, but you should get those gigs. The Army.
The Middle
gigs.
East. Fact, yeah. Can you imagine sending me to the Middle East?
Eastgate's been.
Yeah, but he hasn't got as many tattoos as I've got.
You've got to wear a long sleeve shirt.
All right.
And a burqa.
High-vis.
High-vis burqa. Yes.
Just so they can spot you. So if you shit, they can shoot you off the stage.
Hey, well, you got to fucking... There's only one... Tom Gleason tells the story about when he's in Iraq? Afghanistan.
Right.
Where they have to black out the base so they don't get bombed, but the only light is on the comedian.
Oh, awesome. That's... Jesus, no pressure there. Oh, Jesus, even if you shit, your own people might shoot you.
Yeah. So,
some bloke at the back with an M16 going, "No, he's no good." Nah,
collateral damage.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. Friendly fire.
Who's your influence on comedy? Is there an influence on comedy?
To be quite honest, my influence was my dad.
All right.
Yeah,
funny guy?
Yeah, he's a sarcastic, right. Dry bastard, and... if you leave yourself open just a tiny little bit, he will fucking smash you.
Oh, nice. I needed him last night for Kai. Poppy come out of the audience. "Get back here. Get the fucking...
Did you notice he was getting closer?
I know. He was sliding his ass. I was saying he was sliding his ass like a dog with worms.
But the thing is, with a dog with worms, you can shoot them. Not allowed to shoot Kai.
Or worm them.
Well, you know, that's another option, I suppose. But
he needed a good worm.
How do you find the kids' shows? Do you like them?
Yeah, I don't mind them. Once you do one decent one, they kind of pack out. The word goes around the ship, I think. So the pressure's on. But I mean, I got through that last night. But fuck, whatever. What do you do? I'd like to see anyone else fucking put up with it.
Oh,
I would have liked to be in the audience watching it, going, "Oh, he's sweating."
I was actually at the back going, "Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's fucking sweating."
I could see your eyebrows twitching. I was like, "Yeah, I know that look. I've seen Mick do that before." But I mean, it's difficult, but you do what you do,
mate. It's good money.
It pays money.
Pays the bills.
Pays the bills. Pays
and
the
makes
rent.
You a better comic.
I think so. I've seen a few comics who go on the chat boards on Facebook, and they say, "Oh, I'm doing a carnival cruise. I'm going to do kids shows. What am I going to do?" And one thing I don't like, and this is going to make me unpopular, but fuck, I'm already unpopular, so who cares? I really don't like the guys that go up there and get the kids up to tell a joke.
Oh, the joke competition. That's very popular, I've heard. I've never seen it, though. I've never seen it.
It's the most boring thing in the world.
It'd kill the crowd, too.
Yeah.
Especially that crowd we had last night. That was rocking.
Yeah. But it's fun for the kids, and it's fun for their parents because they get to take a photo of their kids on stage. Oh, look at my lovely Kai telling a joke.
But the problem with that, if you came on... the middle of the cruise and someone already did that, those kids would walk in thinking that's what's going to happen.
Exactly.
So you're going, why are these kids so fucking edgy? Why?
Well, the kids think it's all about them.
Can I come up now?
No. My stage.
Took me 20 years to get my feet on this stage. You can fuck off.
Yeah.
And the kids on cruises, oh my God, they're just so entitled.
Mm. Yeah, because they got the run of the place.
Yeah.
They got the run of the place.
I'm going to push every button in the elevator and then I'm going to fuck off and I'm going to laugh like a cunt.
They have a thing I noticed yesterday in the buffet where I think it's like a kids club and they all eat together.
Right.
With the carers from the ship, and they put chairs around the edge and have signs that says, do not enter. I'm like, who would want to fucking enter?
That's
a bunch of kids sucking down spaghetti and fucking chicken McNuggets. I think the chairs are there so they can't fucking get us.
That's what I want to do. I want to share my lunch with fucking 700 kids running amok. But what a great job the people from Camp Carnival do.
Oh, I mean, fuck yeah.
Fuck, you couldn't pay me enough money in the world to do that.
But they'll never die of a heart attack. They must be the calmest people you've ever met.
Have you ever seen it? Like, fucking, because Camp Carnival closes at like 1 o'clock at night.
Is that right?
Yeah. And they...
What time's it open?
I think it runs from 10 o'clock in the morning till...
I thought it was going to be like 6, so they get I think 5 it's hours like grace.
10 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock at night, and then 8 o'clock at night until 1 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
So they do two shifts. But they've actually got to call the parents and go, come and get your kid. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. And then you just see them run into fucking the crew bar. At 1 o'clock, because we all know the crew bar closes at 1:30.
Except last night when the fucking disco was on.
Oh, did you go in?
That was pounding at my head, because our room backs onto the crew bar.
And they had a DJ there, and he thought he was mixing it up big time. He thought he was Carl Cox. He was having a crack.
It's Carl Cox.
He was having
too many name dropping. This is a dumb podcast. No one knows shit.
Carl Cox is a famous DJ for being the only DJ in the world who uses 3 turntables,
is
not
that
two.
Right? Fucking hell.
Yeah, I've done a lot of ecstasy in my time. I know this shit.
Oh, right. I can't imagine that. You got a massive musical influence too. Like, you're a musician. What do you play?
Pretty much everything.
Eh?
Yeah. I started on saxophone. And
saxophone?
Saxophone. Then went to trumpet, then went to drums, and then guitar and bass, and now just a little bit of everything.
I like the way you were, he was air drumming while saying guitar and bass. I don't think he's ever played guitar or bass properly.
Well, you know, I had a bit of a jam with the band last night.
Yeah, you were very good last night.
How good are Music Manila?
Oh, they're very good. The Manila band, very fucking good.
They're great. The only thing that lets them down is their vocals.
Yes.
It's kind of like listening to a white man sing La Bamba. You're just like, yeah.
That should be on their poster.
But Oliver, the guitarist, he's amazing.
Mate,
he can play anything.
He wails, yeah. He's got the big fucking boots.
He got that guitar given to him.
It's a Steve Vai copy, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, Steve Vai, Vine of Life. And a passenger bought it for him.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Mate, they get so much shit given to them. It's just
And they've been
funny.
Doing it for years, haven't they?
Yeah. I think Oliver's 57, 58.
Jesus, he looks good. I never seen him up close, I suppose.
The drummer's...
902.
Yeah, 902. Yeah, Moses, I think, was his father.
Methuselah.
But they do a good
strange
job.
Filipino name, Methuselah, but yeah. So who are your musical influences then?
Slash. Definitely Slash. Lemmy Kilmister.
Yes.
Rest in peace. He was
the big water genius.
He was the one that taught me bass players can be cool and that it's okay to be short.
Yes.
You know, he always had his mic up a lot higher than he was. Because let's face it, Mick, you don't realise how short you are until you see a microphone stand set up for you on stage.
Do you know why he put it up there like that?
Was that?
I think it was he didn't want to look at the audience. Early days, he didn't want to look at the audience. I think he was nervous.
I
think that's the answer, and he just kept it there. I seen Motorhead at the Family Inn Rydalmere in the 80s,
right.
Which held about 300 people. They packed in about 600, and they were four-piece then.
Right.
Wurzel, Phil Campbell on guitar, and the drummer from Saxon, can't remember his name. Fuck it, it was the loudest gig I've ever been to. And they had the false ceiling above him, and he had the shits. I don't know why he had the shits, Lemmy. And at the end of the gig, he just fucking slammed his Rickenbacker through the ceiling.
Jeez.
And it just swang. For like 10 minutes, and I'm just standing there going, can I have that?
Oh.
So I'm just staring at this Rickenbacker. Everyone's sort of walking out, but they're still going. And they closed the pub for music after that gig because it was so loud.
That's a shame. See, this is the thing that shits me nowadays. I'm going to go on an old man rant. This is the Simpsons.
This is the podcast to be on, man.
Old man yells at cloud. All these people that buy apartments or units next to live music venues,
yep,
and then write letters to the council going, oh, it's too loud. It's like, well, this venue's been here for 25 fucking years. You've only just moved in last week, and now all of a sudden you want to get it shut down. Like, let's support live. I'm going to use your podcast. Let's support live music. Get live music out there again. Bands need work. People need money. People need music. Fucking get amongst it.
He's thumping his fist as he does that.
I know.
I'm very excited.
Very excited.
Yes, go and see some live music. There's some great live music out there.
Mate, I remember years ago we used to play with Sidewinder.
Shit.
Powderfinger. Great Aussie bands. Silverchair. The Screaming Jets. Susie DiMarchi. You know, and it was a great night. We'd all go out, we'd all have fun, we'd all jump around, and no one got hurt, no one got punched, no one got stabbed. Nowadays, it's just bullshit. It's just this fucking shit.
My daughter loves all that shit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's very disappointing. Always thought they'd follow in the footsteps, bought them drum sets, bought them guitars, fucking nothing. Fucking DJs.
I used to have a T-shirt that said, a DJ is not a musician. Got me into a lot of fights when I went to nightclubs.
Can you fight?
No.
I reckon you probably could.
No, I'm terrible. Terrible. I can swing them.
Swing them. You look good. Look good at the start, but not at the finish.
Nah, not at the finish. Not at the finish. It's normally just me lying on the ground crying. There's no need for violence.
When was your last fight?
Oh. What do you mean, physical?
Yeah.
Oh.
I want to hear verbal now.
I was going to say verbal is planning the wedding with the missus.
Right. Are you arguing over that?
No. Nah.
Steve's getting married. When are you getting married?
October next year.
All right.
Yeah, no, we're doing all right on that. We kind of agree on a lot of stuff. And then we disagree on a lot of stuff, so.
That made... You started somewhere and then just went back to the beginning then. You went, yeah, shit, fucked. She won't hear this.
I wanted to do a really simple thing. I'm like, let's just have a pig on a spit in the backyard, job done. No, that's not going to happen.
Motorhead cover band.
Yeah. I've got a mate of mine playing guitar for the wedding, and he sent me a message going, oh, I don't normally play metal when I'm doing the solo stuff. And I was like, oh, no, metal's been vetoed. We're not. That's my girlfriend, fiance.
Did you hear the story of the guy that the Motorhead covers band recently?
No.
He wanted to live life like Lemmy did, like drank like Lemmy, started the covers band, 3 weeks later he died. It's a true story.
Well, he's not doing that.
Because it's on Facebook, so it's a true story.
He's not doing that like Lemmy, because Lemmy lived till he
was
70.
No, I'm just saying, Lemmy was fucking, he was pickled.
See, that's the thing. I look at my life and sometimes I wonder about my decisions. I question my life. And then I read biographies of people like Lemmy, Slash.
Have you seen the Lemmy movie?
I haven't seen. Is there a Lemmy movie?
Yeah, I'll try and get it to you.
That'd be awesome.
Grohl's in it. Grohl's in a lot, actually. They were, like, really close.
Yeah.
Too. Yeah.
Well, as I said here, my my partner... Beautiful woman. For our anniversary, got me an autographed Lemmy and Slash.
Beautiful.
And Dave Grohl's playing drums.
Beautiful.
So I'm thinking about sending the photo over to America and getting Dave to sign it as well. How cool would that be?
Have you got an address or are you just going to send it to America?
I'm just going to send it to America. Just America.
Just say Dave Grohl.
Postcode 000. Surely one of you cunts knows who he is.
I used to be a postman, actually.
Really?
In Greenacre, which is a very Middle Eastern suburb in Sydney, southwest. And you'd get a lot of letters from the Middle East, just says, to my cousin, Greenacre. And then you'd have to work it out.
Does anyone know this bloke?
Yeah.
You were a postie.
I was a postie.
So riding around
push
on the
bike,
little...
Push bike.
A push bike?
Man, I had thighs of steel.
They didn't even trust you with a motorised.
No. I only ever got my L's. I never got to anything after that on motorbike. Did me safety course and then fucking nothing.
Yeah. I can just imagine you just like rolling around on a postie bike. Just
man, that was good. It was the good old days too. It was the 80s.
I actually had a...
Where there was respect for postmen.
I was out the front the other day. I was talking to my gardener.
That's right. You've got a gardener?
I've got a gardener.
What the fuck's going on with you? I don't know you at all.
And the postie pulled up and I went to take the letters from him and he went, no, legally, I have to put them in the postbox.
Oh, he's a dickhead. He's a dickhead.
I was like, I'm fucking right here.
My postman knows who I am. He's a bit of a fan. Anything mildly looks like a package, like a lump in a letter, he'll knock on the door. Hello, how are you?
But mind you, live in a $1.5 million apartment.
No, that was the Blacktown one.
But now live in a $1.5 million apartment.
Oh, yeah, that's my girlfriend listens to this, so she knows I'm going to be saying things like that. Well done. Thanks for that. I'm going to edit that out. It'll be a changed voice saying something differently.
So you've done well. Where are you living now?
I'm living in Olympic Park.
Olympic Park. So you get to listen to all the...
No, which is just a trendy word for Lidcombe.
But you'd get to hear all the concerts for free, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Hear them, yeah.
Is it good, like the sound, or is it just like mud?
The wind's got to be right. Yeah, it's all right.
How often do they have shows down there?
No, only a few times a year, the big concerts. The last one was AC/DC last year, wasn't it? I'd say.
I saw the Foo Fighters.
I think Ed Sheeran was on.
How good is that guy?
Well, my stepdaughter went and watched him and she said, he was so boring, Mick.
Really?
Well, it was like a 2-hour concert and it's just him on stage.
Hmm.
And she's 11.
Oh, okay, yeah.
She wants Taylor Swift strutting around in sparkly fucking denim shorts.
See, that's a problem with kids nowadays, is that they've got no appreciation for talent.
Well, did you go and see concerts, big concerts at 11?
13 was my first big concert.
That?
In excess.
Oh, right, yeah. See, well, maybe you're a bit more mature then, but she's like, well, she was actually 10, I think. So, 10-year-old going to a stadium concert, you know. Sanders took his daughter, who was 6, to Springsteen last year.
Oh, Springsteen. I'd love to see Springsteen.
Oh, I've seen Springsteen last year. It was awesome. Very, very good.
One of my favourite clips on YouTube is Bruce Springsteen with Melissa Etheridge.
Oh, right.
Doing Thunder Road.
Right.
Absolutely brilliant.
Have you seen him play with the guitarist from Rage Against the Machine?
No.
Well, he was on tour. He was the guitarist for the last tour, Rage Against the Machine.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was great.
He used to take like... No, I've got it wrong. I'm thinking about the guitarist from Cheap Trick. Rick
Nielsen.
Used to have like 4 different guitars hanging around his neck.
I think it was about 8, wasn't it? Eight neck guitar? That's just stupid, isn't it?
That's
just
ridiculous.
Fucking,
what's your favourite guitar?
My favourite guitar that I can't have or would like. I play a Telecaster, American Standard Telecaster.
did not see the face that he just pulled the right then.
I really like a... You
look like a stroke victim.
I really like a Gibson Explorer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I had one of those.
Wood grain.
I had one of those.
Wood grain white scratch plate.
I had one of those once, and I've got to tell you, they're a very awkward guitar to
play.
Yeah,
okay.
They don't sit comfortably, and you can't sit them in a stand because of the...
Right. Well, I had a Flying V when I was young and a wanker, and that is impossible to play sitting down.
Yeah, it would be. It'd just slide off.
Where do I put it? But I fucking look cool.
You'd have to
wedge it on your nutsack.
Yeah. I found the same thing about Ovation guitars.
Oh, I've never played one. The round back body.
The round back. Yeah. It just slides.
They've had a renaissance, the Ovation, because they were shit for a long time, but they're very popular again now.
Oh, all right. Is that because of Melissa Etheridge?
I don't know.
She loves her Ovation.
They are back. Tommy Johnson played one for a while.
Oh, really?
He did. I think he still got it. Comedian from Melbourne.
Great guy.
Good guy.
Good guy. Top guy.
Psycho chicken.
with a fucking
rubber glove on
his head.
This is radio. You can't do things. Can't do things with your hands.
I was trying to mime then, and I just totally fucked it up. Mixed like, why did I bring this guy down?
No, it's good. It's good. You're my third ever guest. My last guest was me dad.
Oh, fuck.
He was good.
I feel privileged.
At least you said more words than he did. What? He was like, what the bloody hell's that bloody thing there? What's a fucking podcast?
I remember actually watching an interview with Motorhead, with their original drummer. And he grabbed the boom mic. He's like, it's like I'm talking into a furry cock. What the fuck's going on with this?
Well, he just died too, animal.
Yeah, animal.
Anyone left is Eddie.
Yeah, and he'll probably do a tribute tour.
No, I don't think he's ever done anything. I don't know what he's ever lived on, that guy. He quit the band in the fucking 80s and never really did anything.
Well, I know you're a true fan of music, and I'm a true fan of music as well, and I feel sorry for the way it's going right now.
Well, there's no money in music anymore, so...
Was there ever?
Well, I think so. Fucking by the look of palatial mansions that some of them have and their cocaine habits.
It is true.
Yeah, I've read all the books, like I read the Blacks, like Tony Iommi's biography, the amount of cocaine and the Rolls Royces.
Did you hear the legends about his guitars?
No, what?
Apparently every time someone's stolen his guitar, they've ended up dead within 3 weeks.
Is that right?
Yes. Dead set true.
Well, he's Italian.
Apparently once someone grabbed his guitar off the... They were at an airport and someone grabbed it and did a runner and got hit by a bus. And then a couple of years later they were in South America and someone grabbed his guitar and got killed by a fucking drug cartel. Fuck. And he's like... I just remember watching this video and he's like, if you want to take my guitar, go for it. And it's a Gibson SG. Like, it's not that good.
Left-handed too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so who can play left-handed?
Oh, I can't. I can't play right-handed.
No, you did all right last night.
Oh,
got the little court singing.
Got it, got it going.
Anything else you'd like to say to the thousands of listeners out there? What are you laughing for?
So anyway, next month...
Any gigs you want to plug?
On the 19th of October, Wednesday night, I'm doing a charity show for an organisation called Do It In A Dress. And what it is it's for teenage girls in Africa. Apparently, teenage girls in Africa have got more chance of being sold into sexual slavery than they have of going to high school. So what we do is every year we do a thing called Do It In A Dress, and you get an address, Mick.
Do you get to pick the dress?
You can pick the dress.
Is that right? Where's this at? Where's it at?
It's at the Sit Down Comedy Club in Brisbane, and there's going to be four male comedians, and Kat Davidson is going to MC it, and I'm sure she's going to wear a dress.
I got to wear one of her dresses. I have worn some of her dresses.
But
she told me the best thing, just to cut you off.
No, you're right.
She bent over once in front of me, and I was had a few drinks, and she had the big granny panties on. And I said, oh, you got your big fucking granny panties on, Kat. And she went, I'm on the fucking rag. And I'm like, okay.
Kat's good like that.
She's great.
We did a gig together just before we cut the
week. Where can they get tickets for that gig?
They can get it through the Sit Down Comedy Club website or through Do It In A Dress.
Yep, and that'll be at Brisbane.
In 16th Brisbane.
16th of October, is it?
19th.
19th of October.
19th of October, and all proceeds go to...
Oh, great. It's great.
Go to charity, and they help send a young African girl to school rather than sexual slavery.
Fucking very good choice.
Yes.
Very good choice.
Unless it's a Catholic school.
What story are you going to tell just then?
I was going to
wrap it up on this.
Kat and I did a gig together in Beenleigh recently. And because our careers are peaking. And there was a young woman sitting at the front of the crowd. And Kat was on stage introducing me. And this woman just stood up and held out a card and she goes, "I run a sex shop." Right. So Kat was instantly interested. She goes, "Yeah, log on. And you get a free sex toy."
Right.
So I'm on stage. I look over to the side of the stage. There's Kat on her phone. I'm like, I know where you're going. And then Kat came up to bring me off the stage. And she goes...
Did she bring you off?
No. Stop it. And she goes...
You'd climb there like a spider monkey, wouldn't you?
I'd have to go up on her.
Jesus.
She goes, "I can't help but notice that there's a lack of latex."
Right.
You know, Kat used to be a dominatrix.
Really?
Yeah.
Are we allowed to talk about that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, she's proud of it.
Right?
She's fine.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh.
She used to like wear stilettos.
Got a bit of a stirring in the loins.
Well, I think I've said enough.
There's actually a guy backstage works on P&O when you do the gigs on P&O, and he's absolutely infatuated with Kat. And goes, when is the Kat coming back on the cruise? Oh, she's very tall. I like the tall ladies. Anyway, thanks very much, Stephen J. Wiley, for being part of Mind Meat and busting your cherry on a podcast. You'll get a flurry of fucking people ringing you for podcasts now.
No, I won't.
You will. The payment's in the mail. Cheers. See ya.
Sweet as.
And that's about it for us. For me, it's just me. Oh, there has been us on the podcast today. And goodbye. In Kikongo is Kwenda Mabote. Kwenda Mabote. Check you later, Mind Meatheads.